This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
All right. Luke chapter 24. We're going to read a lot of scripture together, but there's only a couple of things that I want to mention here. So someone please read for us chapter 24 verses 1 through 12. We'll start there.
On the first day of the week,
a little louder.
The women took the spices and prepared their way to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was with you still in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day will be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and arranged the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
Okay. Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for this time again. Lord, we pray that you'd speak to us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'll enable our hearts to listen, to hear, Lord, what you have to say to us today. Father, I pray, O God, that you'll silence every other voices, Lord, all the voices speaking in the minds, in the hearts, in the thoughts of people here. Father, I pray that you'll silence every other voice, Lord, and that you'll allow your voice to be heard, Lord, into the very depth of our beings, Lord. Father, I pray that your word will do something to us today. Father, we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 5. In their fright, the woman bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the man said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here." On that resurrection Sunday, some ladies, women who had surrounded Jesus and had helped him in his ministry, went to, by the way, I hope you know that Jesus was taken care of by some ladies in the 3.5 years that he did ministry. That's spoken to us in Luke chapter 8. But after he died, they were the only one who had the courage to go and try to look for him. And so they went to the tomb. And there too, and then while they went there, suddenly some angels appeared to them and told them, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" And that's the question I want to explore today. Why are we looking for the living among the dead? There is a knowledge in the heart of every person that we need to find God. God created you and me, and so because he created you and I, we know. I don't believe that there is really any such thing as an atheist. We all know there is a God. Everybody knows it. And some people try to find him. And the question is, where do you go look for him? Where do you try to go find him? If you are looking for the President of the United States, you won't go to the bars in Boston and try to find him on a Friday night. He will likely not be there. If you went to look for him in the White House or at Camp David or something, you may have a higher chance of finding him there. And we're all, the truth is that when you look, when I look at life, this is a very simple message. When I look at the lives of many people around me, when I look at my own life, you look at the lives of people around you, you find one thing. People's lives are a constant quest of trying to find life in the place where life cannot be found. There is a constant searching of God, of life, of satisfaction, but you go look for it in the place of death. What are those places of death? What does it mean to go look for the living among the dead? It is when you know that something is lacking in your life. You're trying to find God. You're trying to find that thing that your soul knows you need. But you've tried to go find it in the places where you will not find it. What are those places? Let me start with the obvious place. You can't find him in church. Just coming to a service isn't going to make you find God there. Tons of people went to the temple in the days of Jesus. Many of them. If you went there on the days of Passover when Jesus was crucified, you'll find the temple bustling with tons of people from all over the country and the world who came there. But they missed Christ. He was among them and they didn't find him. They crucified him. You wouldn't find him by just trying religion and trying hard and trying to be a little more religious and say a few more prayers and do a few more rituals. It doesn't matter what religion you choose. Islam, Buddhism, atheism, agnosticism, whatever you try, you're not going to find it there. It's also looking for the living among the dead. And where, you see, if this was another religion, the tomb of Jesus would have become a sacred place where everybody took pilgrimage to and where people would spend a lot of money and they would try to travel once a year to go there and maybe just touch the tomb. I believe that's why God didn't want us, we do not know, people back then did, but today we do not know where his temple is. I hear different denominations have different tomb sites, and you don't really know which one is which. Christians don't have, that's why we do not have sacred buildings, we do not have sacred days, there's no holy sites for believers, because we don't find God in those things. Another place that you will not find God, that's if you try the other extreme. You try to go find him in pleasure. You try to go find him in the pleasures that everyone around us indulge in, in sin, at the clubs, at the bars, in front of your computer watching certain things. You will not find him in those. You will not find that satisfaction in those things either. It's a quest to find satisfaction in life where it cannot be found. And many people go from one thing to another and from one thing to another. You can't find it in a relationship either. If you're a single person, God bless you. God bless us. I hope that you get married very soon. I hope we all do. But the best husband, the best wife you can have is still not going to be Jesus Christ to you. And if you try to make them Jesus Christ to you, you will be sorely disappointed. There's no human being who can take the place of Jesus. You know, there are a lot of people who can be impersonated, right? So you go to Las Vegas, you'll see a lot of Elvis Presley impersonators. You look around, you'll see a lot of Michael Jackson impersonators. You know, they can moonwalk, they can do all kinds of things like that. The person who has not been, you have not, who is, I used to be one of them, by the way, just so you know. I used to moonwalk. But they, you know, the person that you cannot emulate, is really hard to emulate, is Jesus Christ. There was a, because He did things like rise from the dead, right? So if you try to say you're going to be Christ, there's a man where I was born back in Congo, used to say he was Christ and he'll rise on the third day. And he died, and I kid you not, I was following the news. I was little. I was waiting for the guy to come out to hear that in the news that he came out. Day one, day two, day three, his followers started making excuses, and no one has ever heard from them again since that day. It's really hard to emulate Jesus Christ because he is the one who rose from the dead. Everyone else made claims that they were something and they died. Muhammad dies, he's still dead, and Buddha and all the other, they died and they're still dead. But Jesus Christ is the one that no one has a place where he's buried. He's hard to emulate. And I'm trying to say that you cannot find him with another human being. You cannot find him in a relationship, no parent, no friend, no husband, no wife, no boyfriend or girlfriend. You will not find it there. Whatever you're looking for, that life, you're not going to find it in a mortal person. A person who is in this world for just some decades and then dies cannot give you life. You cannot find it in them. And another place where you're not going to find the Lord is in entertainment. That's one thing that our society has. One show after another, a new series after another, one new movie after another, and people go from one place to another, from one entertainment to the other, week after week after week after week after week, trying to keep themselves excited. One of the things that I discovered after being done with school and hanging out with fellow people who are done with their university studies, and now they have a job for 5 days a week, 9 to 5, it's I'm finding out that people don't know what to do with the rest of their time. So it's one social event after the next. So I get invited, Freddie, want to come do this with us, come do this, we come do this with us, come on. When do you have fun? And I don't have anything against, there's nothing sinful in itself about you trying to be entertained. But there's something wrong if you are entertaining yourself because there's an emptiness there that you're trying to fill, because you have no joy and you're trying to use entertainment as a substitute for joy, which you get only from God, then there's something wrong with it. Then you become someone who, the moment you find that you have nothing to do, something inside of you panics. And you have to go find something to do, some social activity to partake in. Let it not be because you're hiding a restlessness in you. Let it be because you really do, you've done a lot of purposeful things in your week. You wanted some downtime, you get together with friends and you do something. But if there is in you a restlessness where you're trying to find something to fill up your time and your life, you will not find it in that movie. You'll spend your whole life chasing one new entertainment, the next show, the next TV program, and so on. And in the end, you find yourself empty. It cannot be found, that you cannot look for the living among the dead. There's this passage that Jesus says that if anyone is thirsty, if anyone is yearning, let him come to the waters, and I will give him the waters of life. He said to the Samaritan woman, anyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But the one who drinks the water I give him will never thirst again. There's a desire in the soul that gets permanently satisfied by Jesus Christ. And once it is satisfied, you give up. You no longer feel the need to pursue the trivial things of this world in order to satisfy something in you that those things cannot possibly satisfy. And I want you today, I want all of us today, to see that, to get honest with yourself. Let me ask you, where have you been going to find life? Where do you find your sustenance from? Where is the place that you've been going to? Where's the dead place that you keep going to hopefully find God there? Where is the dead place that you keep going to, hoping that that's what's going to be the answer to the need inside of you? Who's that person? What's that place? What is that thing? What is that pursuit? What is the thing that you're constantly trying to go to? This lady here that we watched in the video, for her, it was her drugs. She tried and tried and went and went. And she found out it did not work for her. She actually hated it. But she go back to it time and time again. Now, when the angel told these women these things, the Bible said they ran back and they told the apostles and all the other ones. They said that the Lord is risen. He is not dead anymore. He's now alive. But the Bible says, what did the apostle did? Typical men, they did not believe what the woman had to say to them, right? The Bible says here, but they did not believe the woman because their words seemed like nonsense, right? Doesn't that sound common? The sister here, say amen. You say something to people and they think it's nonsense. But Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb, bending over. He saw the strip of linen lying by themselves. So they just told him, do not look for the living among the dead. And what did Peter do? He goes right back to the tomb to try to find the living in the place where they told him, you will not find him, right? He did the very opposite of what he was told. And that's the lives of many of us. The moment you're told, don't seek for God in these dead places. Some people are stubborn. We go back. We try harder. We try to go back to that very thing, to that very place. And we don't find anything there. Peter went there and he found nothing. Jesus was not there. And so the question now comes, so where do you find God? Where do you get him? How do you meet Jesus Christ? And the interesting thing here is that these angels in particular did not tell the woman, listen, don't look for him, don't look for the living among the dead, but here is the place where you're going to find him. Go to this street at this time, at this corner, you're going to find him. They didn't actually tell them where to go. They did tell them, you're not going to find him in this place of death here. But then where do you go find him? Where do you go find Jesus Christ? In what place do you go? If this were in Islam, they'll say, well, definitely try to go to Mecca. And when you go there, you'll find something. Or if it's in another religion, say, go to this special site here, and you're going to hopefully find him there. The angels did not say that, but how do we get to God? How do we find him? And that's what's answered in the rest of this chapter. The rest of this chapter is people having an encounter with God. And I want to mention to you a few things that were true about these people whom God came to. And this is important for all of us who are here, whether you be a believer or not, or wherever your walk with God is at. In verse 13, the Bible said, now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Jesus came to these two people who were walking on their way to Emmaus. How did they find Jesus? Where do we go to find him? It is not a place that you and I go to. It is actually God who comes and finds us. And when he finds us, when he comes to us, it is not random. There are reasons why he goes to certain people. Why did he go to these two? These men were traveling. They had something earthly to do. They were traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus, to a town called Emmaus. As they are walking, though, what were they doing? The Bible said that they were talking about everything that had happened. What are the things that had happened? The Bible says they were talking about Jesus Christ, the one who came. If you read further, Jesus asked them what they were talking about. Verse 19 said about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deeds before God and all the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. These were men who were caught up with what had happened to Jesus Christ. They were caught up with the fact that they had been with Jesus Christ and now he was suddenly taken from them. They were caught up with the fact that they were missing him. I want to ask you, what are you preoccupied with? Jesus comes and he reveals himself to those who are preoccupied with where he is in their lives. They are preoccupied with where their lives stand with respect to Jesus Christ. Is that what you're concerned about? When you're going about your day and you're talking to people, what are you caught up with? What are the things, what's the conversations that we're all having? What is the thing that you're most excited to talk about? You see, if these men were men, let me ask you an honest question. If these men were walking together on their way to Emmaus, and the thing they were most excited about was their business and how they were going to make money that week, do you think Jesus would have gone to them? Let's be honest about it. I do know it is God who comes to look for us, but it is also true that these men were hungry. Clearly, they had a spiritual hunger that they demonstrated there. They were confused, but they were hungry. They were confused, but they were pondering. They were searching. They were asking each other, but what happened to him? You remember he told us this thing. We thought he was the one who will bring salvation to Israel. But why was he taken away? They were asking themselves. They were battling with spiritual questions. And Jesus came to those. He found two men who were hungry. He found two men who were concerned about spiritual things. He found two men who were trying to search for answers to questions that really matter. If he was the Christ, but why did he get killed? And is he coming again? And I want to say to you today, you may be going through a time of confusion in your life. Please listen carefully. You may be going through a time of confusion in your life. You're wondering what's happening with you, where has God gone, and things like that. Everything in your life seems to be confusion. You don't know. This is what these men were. This is what these men were at. Their lives came crashing down, apparently. The hopes that they had put in this person apparently came to nothing. But in the midst of that, they were talking about Jesus Christ. They were talking about what happened to Jesus Christ. They were talking about where he was, what had happened with their relationship with him. Let me ask you honestly, what is the thing that keeps you up at night? I will tell you for me, the thing I'm most worried about, I say this not to brag or whatever, I'm telling you that I'm not speaking to you things that are not true for me. I can tell you honestly today, the thing that I am most worried about, most concerned about, is my walk with God. I want to know, am I walking with God? Sonny and I meet up every week to pray. And I share with him some of the things that have been going on in my head. And he does the same. And yes, there are many other things that are going on in my life. There are many other things that are there. Other cares that are there. Like everybody, like every other person, I have those things. But I'm caught up with, but where is God in all that? What does this mean for my relationship with God? God, am I at the center of your will or not? That's something I'm constantly thinking about in my own life. God, am I doing what you want me to do? How do I get from here to the place, to the spiritual state that you want me to be in? How can my walk with you get to the depth that you want it to be at? That's the thing that I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the sin that I catch my heart in. I'm worried about what is it that happens. I'm worried about what is it that happens if I lose God. so long as I know that there is no cloud between God and myself, so long as I know that I'm walking with a clear conscience before God, I have no problem. Everything else is something that I know God is going to care, to take care of. I think about, if I were to stand before God today, what am I going to present for my life? I would like to say to you all, the only real trouble you have is the trouble you have with God, is if Jesus goes missing in your life. Some of you, maybe you used to walk with God at some point. The hand of God was on you. You knew the anointing of God upon you. You've backslidden. Now you love certain things. You're in love with other things that you would normally not have been in love with. You've fallen in love with the world. Sins that you ever need, you didn't even practice before, now you practice them. You don't even feel guilty anymore. You go from, oopsies, God, I'm sorry. Well, oopsies, God, I'm sorry. I guess my bad, God, I'm sorry. And does that bother you? Does that concern you? Jesus came to a, see, the testimony we just saw, there was a lady who was in trouble, but it was a, you can tell, couldn't you tell she was hungry? She was looking for someone to help her. She reached out to God, and Jesus came beside her and did something for her. Jesus Christ comes to those who are hungry and concerned about where he is in their lives. Let me tell you the thing that troubles me, even in a season like this where it's Easter and there's a lot of hoopla and the thing that I was thinking about this throughout this week, you go on Facebook, everybody's got something about Easter and so on. And it's good, I'm not discouraging that. And everybody had services, Good Friday, Good Thursday, depending on where you, when you believe he died. I happen to believe it was Thursday, by the way. But you know, all these things are happening around you. But the thing that concerns me is in the middle of that, who's really looking for God? Who's really seeking for Jesus Christ? Who's there concerned? Not about the fact that the feast of the Passover came and this is the season of the year. Who's not just concerned about rhetorics and great oratory about Easter? And who's actually concerned, God, where are you in my life? Can I find you again? What happened to the hopes that I had in you? Is that something, how many people are getting up today and hungry? The truth is most people, Easter is gone and most people tomorrow go back to their regular lives. That's the truth of it. 1 week from now, everybody forgets all the hoopla about Easter. But what's the point of it? You know, if I wasn't talking about this, what I would have spoken about today was Jesus Christ going with his parents to the temple at 12 years old. It was another feast. They went to the feast and then they left the feast and Jesus didn't even go with them. The parents went a day's journey and their son, their firstborn son, Jesus, was not with them. What were they focused on during that feast? Obviously, they weren't focused on Christ. It's like you ask Sonny, hey, where's Micah? He's like, well, it's been a day. I haven't seen him. I hope he's with my parents. Can you imagine that? But that's the way a lot of our feasts have become. We celebrate, we have a lot of fireworks around it. But the truth of the matter is, where is Christ in the middle of it all? Was he really the one that everyone was seeking, what was looking for? It is time that we come back to being hungry for God again. My prayer for myself and my prayer for you, for everyone here, is that you be hungry for God. Because when you become hungry for Him, you're finally on the path to seeking for what matters. You're finally going after the thing that will be worth it. It may be a time of confusion in your life, but I want to say to you, if you're hungry for God, He's going to meet you right in the middle of that confusion. And then I'm going to start concluding, I promise. Right now, I'm going to wrap this up very quickly. So the next thing, when he told them about all these things, you know, all their spiritual concerns, in verse 25, the Bible says this. He said to them, "How foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in Scripture concerning himself." Now listen, this is probably a very long sermon that Jesus goes on here. The Bible said, beginning with Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, the prophet, Jesus began to explain to them that he was going to die and rise again. Now, they don't know this is Jesus speaking to them. They think it's just a stranger who came and was walking with them. But these people were people who were willing to listen to the word of God. When someone came to them with the truth of God's word, they were not like, "Hey, listen, I don't want to hear about the Bible right now. We're grieving our friend is dead." They began to listen. They had a heart to hear the word of God. You want Jesus to come to you. You want the Lord to reveal himself to you. There is no shortcut to it. You want a greater revelation of Christ in your life. You want him to come to you. You're going to have an understanding of him through Scripture. This comes back to what I was saying earlier. Please take your Bible and read it. You see, most churches work like this. You come to church, you live your life Monday through Saturday, then you come to church on Sunday. The pastor tells you what you're supposed to believe, and he tells you what you're supposed to know. He's like one of those, one company I used to work for, was that there used to be people, those who invest, you know, in the stock market, portfolio manager and people like that, or those who just manage stuff. Some of them have people whose job was simply to go read news for them. And they come and report to them news that's relevant to their investment. And so I was working with this company that tried to automate that. We tried to make the computer read the news and report to people the news articles of fact that are relevant to them. And some people view the pastor's role like that. I have my investments here. The pastor goes and reads the Bible, picks out the things that are relevant for me, comes on Sunday. He tells me, "Here's the cliff note on what you need to know this week on spiritual things." He does not work like that. You're supposed to go and look for God yourself. I can't eat for you. If you're hungry today, I can't go there and eat. I say, "Hey, Don, you're hungry? Okay, I'll go order some food and I'll eat it for you." And after I eat it, I'm like, "Don, are you full now?" It does not work like that. You have to eat for yourself, okay? You have to go look for your own. You have to go look for your own food. Now, in some churches, the pastor is paid to do that. Now, over here, I don't get paid to do that, okay? Even if you paid me, I still would not do that. You're supposed to go and seek for God for yourself and read His word and dig for it there. The Bible says if you seek for God as one seeks for gold, if you look for it as men look for a hidden, a pricey treasure, you find Him. These men were willing to listen to the word of God. They were hungry. They were open. They were interested. And Jesus came to them. It is no surprise. It's what I'm trying to say to you today. These things are not arbitrary. Okay? You make a choice. Ezra said that the hand of God is upon all those who seek His face and who are willing to obey Him. Jesus comes to those who are to those who are hungry. Now, you know the story. He reveals himself to them, and when he reveals himself to them, the Bible says that they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They were so happy and so joyful. Let me tell you, when you know that you have received the fresh revelation of Jesus Christ in your life, there is a joy that comes to you. They did not mind getting up, returning. They couldn't wait to go back and tell people, listen, we've seen Jesus Christ. They went back excited. There was a joy. There was a victory. There was a sense of victory there. He's not dead. He's risen. You know that sense is lacking in the lives of many of us. Why? Because he's not there. We've been hungry for other things. So he has not been moving that much in our lives. And because of that, that emptiness is there. And that emptiness manifests itself in many ways. In the boredom, in the lack of joy, in the sad faces. In all these things, the truth of the matter is, when he comes to us, when we give him room in our lives, and we begin to care for what matters, Jesus comes. And when he comes, gives us a greater revelation of his, of him. Now, these people are folks who had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. By this time, he showed himself to them in a way they'd never seen him before. They were so excited. They got up, went back. It's like people going one place, they get there, and then they turn around immediately and come back. And let me mention one other thing. You know why, when Jesus did reveal himself to them? The Bible said when they were walking, I'll read it for you here. Verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther away, but they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in and stayed with them. Listen, they didn't know it was Jesus, okay? But this man was telling them about the things of God. And they told him, hey, look, don't go away. Jesus acted as if he was going to go away. They said, no, come and stay with us. They had in their hearts to help a person. They saw here a person who had no place to stay. And they were like, please come and stay with us. If they were selfish people who were like, oh, thank you. We enjoyed that sermon. Now, goodbye. Go and find yourself a place to stay for tonight. Sleep on the road. Camp out somewhere. He would not have revealed to them He would not have revealed himself to them either. They would have gotten some scriptural answer to their question. But that final revelation where it says he ate with them and he broke bread and suddenly it was revealed to them, that would not have happened. There also has to come a time in our lives when we begin to care about the needs of other people. And when we're not so focused. Another thing I find is that it is rare to find people who are really concerned about other people. Everyone is like, I got enough problems of my own. And that attitude's got to come to an end. Part of being a Christian and walking in the way of the cross is to know that, yes, you've got problems, but there's also someone here who doesn't have a place to go. You're walking with him. It's a human need right in front of you. You just don't continue on your way. Tell the man goodbye. Thank you for preaching to us. Now go away and find a place to stay. They thought this was a man who had no place to go. They decided to help him. When Jesus came in, the Bible says, he broke bread. I will tell you something. Some of you here know Carl. When I met Carl, he was sleeping by the river, and he won't be offended by me saying this. The day I met him in Central Square, he was in the filthiest state I've ever met a human being in. Some of you saw the first day he came in here. We put him in a motel for a couple of days, and to be honest, not because I was trying to be a good guy, but we ran out of funds, and I had a need in front of me. I met him in Central Square. It was all dirty, messy. He had no shoes. His belt was a shoelace that he tied around his pant. He was completely drunk. I told him, can I pray for you? I pray for him. Don was there. He vomited like I've never seen anyone vomit in the sidewalk. You remember that? You were there with Elizabeth. That was the first day I met Don as well. And, you know, I don't recommend, I've never done this before, and I don't recommend you do it, but I felt convicted to take him into my house. And I don't know how I knew, but I knew that that's what God wanted me to do. So we took him here, and he started to live here. And one day, the next day, I was like, God, is this empty spiritual zeal, or is this really you? Because believe it or not, I'm not interested in being a good guy. I'm interested in doing the will of God. And the next day after I had accepted him to be here, I was like, God, I went to my job. I was sitting on my computer. I was like, God, is this really you? And I was like, God, confirm it to me somehow. And I kid you not, I've only shared this with one person, a friend of mine, who at the time told me, yes, I believe this is God, you should do this. I went online. There is this promise calendar that David Wilkerson used to have, where for every day there's a promise of the Bible. I don't think they do that anymore. So I went online for that date. There was a verse. That verse was in Colossians. It was Colossians something. When I clicked on it, however, it takes you to the website where you can actually read the verse. But the verse that he pointed to was not the one that was written there. It was a bug in their program. It directed you to the wrong verse. And the wrong verse it directed me to was the passage in Hebrew that says, remember to be hospitable. Because of this, some people have welcomed angels into their home. I kid you not. That was the verse that I read. Now, to me, that was enough. That was confirmation. It's like you have, because of this, some have even welcomed angels in their home without knowing. I shared that with my friend at the time, and he stayed here for a month and a half, and then he got his apartment in Malden, Emoya. Lots of people told me I was crazy. Some of you I know wanted to say that to me, but you didn't have the courage. You can say that to me. I won't be offended. But it was a need that was in front of me. I had to do something about it. I didn't go looking for the guy. The guy came on my path. I didn't go looking for this. God sent it my way. And there has to be, you can't just have this, I got my life, I got my own problem, I got my own issue, I'm tired, I don't want to see anybody, and so on. You have that, there's be very little God can do with your life. You have to be willing to see that you're surrounded by people who have needs. We live in a society where everyone is going so fast, and trying to get to their goals. And they don't care who's falling on the wayside around them. You sometimes even have conversation with people and you know they're not there. They want to end the conversation quickly because they're going to move on to whatever other thing they have. And you and I, part of the way that we ought to be light. Now, I'm not saying you go and take, and in fact, Carl himself told me, don't do this with anybody else. And I told him, no worry, I'm not planning on making a habit of this. But, you know, however, there are some things that cost even less than that and that are even less risky for you. Somebody's got a problem, you stop and you take time to talk to them. You actually take time to listen to what they're trying to say to you. It's rare to find nowadays. Don't be so caught up into your own needs, into your own life. Find a way to be a blessing to someone. You see, a lot of our depression, to be honest, is self-centeredness. we begin so focused on our own problem, and the devil magnifies our own problems. They start even to look bigger than they really are. And we think we're the most miserable person on earth. And we've got the whole world falling around. But it's not like that. When they took this stranger into their dinner table, I wish I was at that table. Jesus broke bread and revealed himself to them. There was like, wow, it was the Lord. And they say, you know what? When he was speaking, there was something that was burning in us. There was something that was burning in us. And they went back immediately and told people about it. You and I today have a work to do. I will end by reading this here. I know I've spoken, I've gone way over my time here, and that I promised that I was wrapping up. But Jesus finally showed himself to all of them, and he told them a few things. One, he said, "Peace be to you." I think that's a message that God has for us today. God is not here trying to, when he showed himself to the apostles, he didn't condemn them. He didn't say, "Why did you all desert me the other night?" He didn't say, "Hey, Peter, you come stand here in the middle, repent, confess in front of everybody." He did not do that. He came to them and said, "Peace be to you." And then he reassured them that it was him. And secondly, he gave them something to do. He told them to go. Verse 48, "You are witnesses of these things." He told them to go throughout the world to make sure that the whole world hears of this message. And the other thing that he gave to them in the midst of all this, he told them, "I'm going to send to you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." He offered them peace, he gave them a commission, and then he told them the Holy Spirit will come upon them. Those three things are true for you. For you and for me today. Christ is offering us peace. If your heart is troubled, there's been controversy with you and God, Jesus comes and says, "Peace be to you. Let there be peace between you and God. Come back to the place where you ought to be with the Lord. Let the controversies between you and him be washed away by the blood of Jesus. Then take on the tasks that he has given to you and me to go out throughout the world and make this truth known of forgiveness and repentance, and seek the Lord for that anointing from on high." I want today to be a day when we make a decision, the decision to stop looking for God in the dead places, the decision to begin to seek for what matters, to make a conscious decision. "Lord, I'm not going to be going and looking for you in places I know I'm not going to find you at. I'm not going to be searching for you in the garbage can. I'm not going to go looking for you in the garbage of the world. I'm not going to go looking for you in people either. I'm going to be hungry for actually having you. I'm going to make my spiritual pursuit my highest pursuit." See, Jesus didn't say, "Do not seek for other things." He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness." He understood that there are other things that we seek for. It's not bad to seek for them. But the primary pursuit of your life, the one that is non-negotiable, is that you have to be hungry for God. You have to be thirsty for him. You have to say to yourself, "Where is Christ in my life? How can I have more of him?" And that ought to occupy you day after day after day after day after day. Seek him. Make room for him. He'll see your hunger. Make room to bless other people. Let God use you to help someone, even if it inconveniences you a little bit. And go to God and say, God, I want to be a useful Christian. I want to be a witness for you in these last days. Would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? The Lord will do it. I still believe that is our greatest need. We have tried to do a lot of things in the power of the flesh. It cannot be done like that. We have to seek God for fresh anointing, and He will do it for us. Amen.